Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
And also at upnorthnewswi.com, sign up for our daily newsletter, a little something we put together after the show and send out your way in the late afternoons. Just go to our website, click on newsletter up in the banner up on the homepage. And again, you can reach us here at 715-388-7155 or radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Tomorrow will mark 12 weeks until the November 8th general election, and we will mark the day with two of the candidates who will be on ballots in and around Wausau and other parts up north. Dick Ausman, candidate for Congress in the 7th District, who is challenging incumbent Republican Tom Tiffany. And Bob Look, candidate for State Senate in the 29th District, where Republican Jerry Petruski is retiring. So they will be two. There will be certainly other candidates throughout the course of these 12 weeks in the general election campaign. And again, in our next hour, Dan Schaefer and a review of last week's primary election results and what it says about Wisconsin as we head into the fall campaign. But before we get to what's happening in November and the fall campaign, let's get to what's happening shortly, which is the start of another school year, which, again, something as an empty nester, I thankfully no longer relate to quite as well. But I don't want to give the impression as we talk about school supplies here that, you know, that my kids just were like Abraham Lincoln and they wrote with a piece of coal on the back of a shovel, you know, to learn their spelling words. But things are, you know, they're a little different now than they were when I was sending kids in. And as a result, we're also learning more about, you know, what teachers need and what students need. Teachers, you know, are of course doing what they can under what can be charitably described as hostile conditions for a host of reasons related to political leanings and values and what have you. But those teachers are still trying to help their students as best they can. School supplies are necessary. They just always have been. And it's not just enough to say, well, here's a notebook and a pencil. There's a lot more to that, to learning, and more supplies that are needed. But because of social media and, the growth of media overall, we are now more aware than ever that there are kids who come to school that aren't equipped properly. They don't have the supplies they need, but hell, a lot of times they don't have the nutrition they need. You know, they're not getting good meals, and they're not able to learn. But to stick to school supplies as a thing that they need and aren't getting, teachers and schools and other groups try to help out where they can, and this is where you come in. You can be helpful in that way. Christina Laurie put up on our website, and I'm sure you can find elsewhere, stories about how teachers are, you know, putting their needs up on social media, and people and celebrities and companies and groups are, you know, trying to do what they can to help out. There's a hashtag called clear the list, meaning the school supply list. And it's believed to have been started by a first year Texas teacher back in 2019, struggling to afford new school supplies. She posted her Amazon wish list on social media. And, it really, took off, became viral as people tried to help out. And that need is still there. The nonprofit called adoptaclassroom.org estimates that teachers will spend anywhere from $550 to $750 out of their own pockets to help students be equipped. Now, that's something that either the school and school district should be doing, or something that parents should be doing. But because of those gaps, for various reasons, they exist, and that need is there where people can help. It doesn't mean that, you know, you have to spend $550 to help out, but, you know, maybe you can. Maybe you can give a little more. Maybe you can give a little bit less. Regardless, if you search for the hashtag clear the list or clear the list 2022, or even clear the list Wisconsin, You know, search for those things on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You will be able to find teachers in your community or somewhere in the state who need help. And you can also go to Amazon directly, for example, and do that. Go to amazon.com/wishlist and then, create a list of supplies if you're a teacher that you are in need of. So we just wanted to urge people to do that, to help out. Because as this starts up, people quite often don't have, the things that they need. And sometimes it's not just, school supplies. It's not just meals. Sometimes it's clothing. I had a daughter who lived in South Texas a couple of years back. And remember that big cold snap, Luke? It was catastrophic. It's something like 1,000 people died or something like that, if I remember right.
People were freezing to death inside of their homes because they didn't have power and it was below freezing.
Didn't have power and didn't have the proper attire or clothing or whatnot. Anyway, my one daughter had just moved down there from Idaho and has two sons who are now 8 and 15. So this was a couple of years back. And, a couple of days before that cold snap is when, she happened to move down from Idaho and realized, packed a bunch of stuff, left some stuff in a storage locker back in Idaho, but then took a bunch of stuff to Texas and was chagrined to find out upon unpacking the U-Haul that a box that was supposed to be left behind in Idaho actually made it down. And it was a box of winter coats and gloves and hats and things like that. She thought, well, now I've just, nothing's going to happen with that. But of course, that cold snap came a couple of days later. And, the then 6-year-old comes in after school the following day and asks if he can, bring the box outside because so many of the kids in his apartment complex, were freezing. They didn't have coats or gloves. And so they were able to go to good use. You too can help out where you can with either school supplies or other matters that just help kids get the school year started on a good note. On Sunday, there was an anniversary, something that probably doesn't get nearly the attention that it should, except in a political context. But that is just what we have in America, is that Social Security, something that is, I think it's been referred to as the most successful anti-poverty program in American history, and yet is often the source or the subject of misinformation, myths. It's villainized as some kind of welfare when it is certainly anything but that. Sunday marked its 87th anniversary, where the Social Security Act became law and started something that helped ensure that something we kind of take for granted now, the comfort of not being destitute in your old age. Seniors can enter their later years without fear of poverty. That was something extremely real in, times before Social Security, where older folks who did not have family, who did not have networks, who always were at the low end of the wage ladder, we're going to either the equivalent of poorhouses or just as easily, dying again from exposure or from lack of good nutrition. These were very real things in America. And eventually an old age pension, as it was called at the time, was set up. The disabled were folded into that as well in an act called the Social Security Act. And in Wisconsin, nearly 1.3 million Wisconsinites rely on Social Security. These are benefits that they've earned through payroll deductions through all of their working lives. And yet, despite having paid into and earned that benefit, that guarantee, that promise that if you work hard throughout your life, play by the rules, and do these deductions, you will not be destitute in your old age. Despite all of that, we continue to have Republicans that either threaten cuts or to dismantle it entirely, who want to play politics with it, who spread myths about it. And so as a result, Democrats first thing this morning launched a new digital ad campaign targeting Wisconsin seniors with a video ad that offers reminders that this is not just rhetoric. The actual plans put forward by U.S. Senate Republicans, by the conservative caucus of U.S. House Republicans, and promoted by Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, have all, to some degree or another, threatened to weaken or get rid of Social Security and Medicare, which provides health insurance coverage to seniors. You know, it was Ron Johnson who said about 2 weeks ago that programs like Social Security and Medicare, he said they all ought to be what's called discretionary spending rather than mandatory spending. And discretionary spending means that Congress gets to vote up or down on it every year. You know, discretionary spending is, you know, should we build a new post office in Tilden, Wisconsin? You know, that's your discretionary spending. The Social Security program, the Medicare program made discretionary. How do you think that would look every year if you let, you know, Ron Johnson and Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and, you know, some of these other winners, you know, constantly say, well, okay, I'll vote to extend it, but what are you going to give me in return? And usually that's a cut someplace else. You know, I mean, what, and these are folks that in the past have supported, I'll just grab an example here, you know, drilling in the national, you know, close to national parks, selling off national park land, you know, so that, you know, more development or exploring can be done. Is that what we're going to see if Social Security and Medicare have to be saved year after year after year? I mean, this should be a non-starter. This used to be political suicide for a candidate or an elected official to want to monkey around with the Social Security and the Medicare of Americans. Instead, enough misinformation has been put out there that enough people believe it, you know, to believe, for example, that, you know, Social Security is about to go bankrupt. It's not about to go bankrupt. The trust fund behind it, you know, through demographics is, you know, going to winnow down at some point. And, you know, a couple of decades from now, there is that possibility that, you know, Social Security would only be able to pay out, say, 75% of the benefits that it is normally paying out right now. That's not bankrupt. You know, if your boss told you you were only going to get 75% of your pay, you'd be upset, but you wouldn't be bankrupt. You know, so this whole bankrupt piece of misinformation is especially harmful. You know, and the same thing is, similar things are being said about, you know, Medicare, which again, 1.2 million Wisconsin residents rely on that. So contrast those messages being highlighted in this new ad campaign that started today. Contrast that with the Inflation Reduction Act, which was passed on Friday. That's going to allow Medicare to be strengthened. The federal government will finally be able to use its volume buying power to negotiate better prescription drug prices. It will cap out-of-pocket prescription drug costs for seniors. It'll make Medicare more financially secure. And again, if more people are working, if more people are financially secure heading toward their retirement, they will continue having their Social Security payroll deductions made, which will keep Social Security solvent as well. Again, we know how these programs work and we know how they work best, but they only work best if they're getting support rather than constantly, you know, being threatened by both misinformation and outright, you know, talking points and proposals from Republicans that aren't true. So this is part of what, you know, Ron Johnson is going to face as he goes up against Mandela Barnes, who, Luke, you were telling me that Ron Johnson was hitting up Mandela for a thin resume. Is that
Ron Johnson and some of the right wing media ecosystem here in Wisconsin have been chiming about this morning.
Thin resume. State Assembly, Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin. What was Ron Johnson's resume in 2010? I mean, that takes something to accuse somebody else of having a thin resume, especially one that actually is as, you know, as deep as Mandela Barnes by comparison to what Ron Johnson had. We will take a break and we will wrap up this hour's conversation in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.